than I do. Amen. Nobody. Amen?
Amen?
Good morning, loved ones. How are you? Good. Welcome back, Vanguard students. We missed you. We missed you guys. And tomorrow's the first day of school. Are you ready? No, I'm not either. Oh, wow. I feel better. I'm the only one that's not ready. But ready or not, here y'all come. Praise the Lord. It's good to be in God's house. Always good to be with God's people. Amen. So, we have been working our way through the Gospel of Mark. And as I was working through this morning's lesson, I remembered maybe some of you have seen the little meme I sometimes post on Facebook. If you're my Facebook friend, you may have seen it. And it's a meme. It's called Jesus Facepalm. And it's basically a picture of Jesus doing this. And then underneath it says, when Picard is not enough, you know, because everybody, Picard, Captain Picard, you know. You know, because everybody posts Captain Picard doing this, but when it's really bad, you basically post Jesus doing this. And so in this morning's passage, we're actually going to see Jesus doing a lot of this. Never let anybody tell you that Jesus did not get tired or frustrated or exacerbated, because he did. Okay, and so this morning, again, we're going to continue our journey through the Gospel of Mark, and we're going to read this morning from the 8th chapter of Mark, starting in verse 1. So I'm in Mark's Gospel, chapter 8, beginning at verse 1. When you have it, say amen.
Amen.
Excellent. And the Bible says, during those days, another large crowd gathered. Since they had nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I have compassion for these people. They have already been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. If I send them home hungry, they will collapse on the way because some of them have come a long distance. His disciples answered, but where in this remote place can anyone get enough bread to feed them? Does this sound familiar? How many loaves do you have? Jesus asked. Seven, they replied. He told the crowd to sit down on the ground. When he had taken the seven loaves and given thanks, he broke them and gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people. And they did so. They had a few small fish as well. He gave thanks for them also and told the disciples to distribute them. The people ate and were satisfied. Afterward, the disciples picked up 7 baskets full of broken pieces that were left over. About 4,000 were present. Matthew says it was 4,000 men plus women and children. After he had sent them away, he got into the boat with his disciples and went to the region of Dalmanutha. The Pharisees, first face palm. The Pharisees came and began to question Jesus. To test him, they asked him for a sign from heaven. He sighed deeply and said, why does this generation ask for a sign? Truly, I tell you, no sign will be given to it. Then he left them, got back into the boat, and crossed to the other side. We're not done. The disciples had forgotten to bring their bread, except one loaf they had with them in the boat. Be careful, Jesus warned them. Watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and that of Herod. They discussed this with one another, said, is it because we have no bread? Is that why Jesus is struggling? A Aware of their discussion, Jesus asked them, Why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not see or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes but fail to see and ears that fail to hear? And don't you remember when I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up? 12, they reply. And when I broke the 7 loaves for the 4,000, how many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up? They answered, 7. He said to them, do you still not understand? Don't let nobody tell you Jesus never got frustrated. Don't. He was never cruel toward people in his frustration. But when he was frustrated, he would let you know he was frustrated with you. So now look at our scenarios. Just look at where we're at. First of all, for a second time, in a very short period of time, it would seem, Jesus has opportunity to care for the physical needs of the people who have come to hear him. 3 days these people have been sitting in a remote place eating the word of God while their physical bodies go without food. And Jesus, because he cares about people, because he has compassion, he's not going to send them away hungry. And so as any good shepherd would, he cares for the needs of his sheep. He's a good, good shepherd, isn't he? It is the event, as Mark describes it, is almost identical to the feeding of the 5,000, practically identical. I mean, step for step, almost word for word. Feed these people, Jesus told the disciples, we ain't got no bread. What are we going to feed them with? How many loaves do you have? We got 7. Okay, sit the people down. I'm going to bless the bread, and you're going to distribute. Oh, we got some fish, too. We're going to do the same thing with that. Almost verbatim. And by the way, while this is the second time that Jesus has performed this miracle, it is not the first time in Scripture that such a miracle was performed. Does anybody know where else we see this multiplying of provision for people? Elisha. Who? Elisha. Very good. Thank you, brother. Elisha was brought bread, very little bread, to distribute to 100 soldiers. And when he instructed his servant to pass out the bread, the servant's like, this is not going to go through. He says, relax. The Lord has said they will have enough and some left over. And that's exactly how it went. So this is not necessarily a unique miracle to Jesus. Jesus does do it on a much, much bigger scale. But as any good shepherd would, he provides for his sheep. And so after these people are fed and the crowd is dispersed, he and his disciples get into a boat and they go to a place called Dalmanutha, where the Pharisees are waiting for them. Anybody here besides me sick of the Pharisees yet? Yeah. I'm not the only one. Jesus at this point is pretty sick of them himself. So they've come to question him and to challenge him and to pick at him and to try and trick him. They're in the business of trying to trip Jesus up at every turn. And so they ask Jesus for a sign out of the heavens. We're not entirely sure what they're asking for. Are they looking for a word from the Lord? Or are they looking for some kind of cosmic magic trick? Either way, Jesus is not having it. Really? Why does this generation ask for a sign? We see his frustration and exacerbation. We see it. I'm telling you, this generation isn't getting a sign. I ain't giving you no sign. If Jesus were where I came from, that's how he put it. I ain't giving you no sign. gets in the boat, leaves these chuckleheads, but he appears to continue to be bothered. You ever have somebody say something to you and it bothers you long after the fact? I mean, you may have effectively shut them down, dropped the mic, and walked away, but you're still bothered. You're still troubled. Because it's not just about what they've asked. It's always, always about something much deeper. And so now they get in the boat, and the disciples, who are exhibiting some of the same kind of density that we see in the Pharisees, like the Pharisees, they are also being stupid. Did you burn bread? Man, I thought you had bread. Well, one loaf of bread in here for 13 of them. Are you kidding me? They're caught up in the lack of bread, which was their responsibility, by the way. That would have been for them to do. And they're twisted. And Jesus is overhearing the conversation, and it's like, by the way, since we're talking about bread, you need to beware of the yeast of the Pharisees and Herod. Why would he say that? Is it because we didn't bring bread? No, this is not about bread, Jesus says. What is the matter with you? What is wrong with y'all? Don't you remember when I fed the 4,000? How much bread was there left over? We had, what do you say, five? 12. We had 12 baskets. Yeah, and then when I fed these other folks, how many were? We had 7. You still don't get it. You still don't get it. And while it's almost comic when you sit down and read it and hear Jesus' words as he addresses these people, Jesus is addressing a very serious situation. This not getting it is not good. Now, we talked about the crowd. We've talked almost ad nauseum about all of the people that Jesus has interacted with. You know the crowd. They're coming. They're coming to hear. They're coming to get healed. They're coming because they need something from Jesus, and they're coming. And then you've got these skeptics, the Pharisees. Here they come with their questions and their drilling and their... And then you have the disciples, those who have been bid to come, follow, watch, learn, and do likewise. And at this point in Mark's gospel, time is of the essence. Because you see, we are coming down. Mark's gospel, did you realize that almost half of Mark's gospel is devoted to the last week of Jesus' life? Mark puts a lot of emphasis. He spends a lot of time talking about those things Jesus did just prior to going to the cross. So if Mark has 16 chapters, let's do the math. And we are in chapter 8. Time is running out. Jesus has no time for these men not to get it. They have got to get on message, and they have got to get so quickly. What is their problem? Well, let's talk about this yeast. In Scripture, the word yeast or leaven, if you are King James baby like I am, the word is used in a variety of ways. Unleavened bread, for example, speaks to haste. Israel doesn't have time for the bread to rise, and so they carry it out of Egypt unleavened and in baskets. It's also used as a metaphor for sin, as well as a metaphor for the church. In Matthew's gospel, chapter 13, in those kingdom parables. So what are we getting at here? Well, yeast, well, how many of you bake in here? Anybody bake and break bread recently? If you know anything about, help me. Baking bread. Amen. You know that yeast is a key component of baking bread. You put this active, it's a microorganism, really. You know that, right? It's a living, it's a what?
It makes it ferment.
Right. It gets in that bread, and what does it do to this dough?
It makes it rise.
it makes it rise because it spreads, and it spreads very quickly. And so you could have this much dough with no yeast in it, that'll turn into this much dough. You knead a little bit, you let it rest for more, and it'll get to be this much. It multiplies. It spreads and it multiplies, spreads and it multiplies. The yeast that the Pharisees and Herod are trafficking in is not the kind of yeast you want to spread and multiply. It is a dangerous yeast because, like the disciples, they also don't get it. Now, I've kind of talked to you repeatedly about who these Pharisees were, how they started out on a good track. Back in those days of the exile of Judah and beyond, they became the self-appointed guardians of God's law. We are going to help God's people keep covenant with him. Now that we're sitting here on this 70-year timeout for not keeping covenant with him. But over the decades and the centuries, something has happened to these people. These were the people who studied Torah, the people who interpreted Torah, who created commentaries around those spaces in Torah where it was not possible for them to continue in their legal practice. They didn't have a temple. They didn't have a priesthood. And so we have to find ways to. And with all this commentary and all the stuff that goes on in life over the centuries, this sect of the Pharisees, and mind you, I am working from the premise that Jesus himself may have been a Pharisee. But over this period of time, something has denigrated. Something has gone terribly, terribly wrong to the point that these very keepers of Torah, these teachers of the law, are looking into the face of Messiah himself, and they don't recognize. They're looking at him, and they don't know who he is. They've been waiting for him, and they don't know who he is. And Jesus goes after them about that. It's like, go study the law. You claim to be students of the law? Go study that law. It is that law that testifies of me. If you knew the law, you'd know who I was. If you knew the law, you would know who I was. They just don't get it. Jesus facepalm. Herod? We talked about Herod. Herod is a puppet king. He's no king of the Jews. He's a puppet of Rome. He and like his father before him. All they are interested is maintaining his power base. So that he can hear, he knows what John has to say to him is so. But he is not willing to compromise his power or his position to call truth, truth. Herod doesn't get it either. And here's where Herod and the Pharisees have a lot in common, because the Pharisees like being the religious elites. They're not the elites in the same way that the Sadducees were. They were the wealthy upper class. You have the Pharisees who are this ground roots movement, but even in ground roots movement, we like our reputation. We like people to call us rabbi. We want people to be in awe of us as we walk through the streets. There were earthly concerns that kept Herod and the Pharisees from seeing God right in front of them. When I was growing up, and some of you may remember this, there were people who loved to tell us, listen, you don't want to be so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. Don't be so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. Oh, don't be so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. I never recall Jesus, and especially here in this passage, having that as an issue. If anything, amen, his message is, don't be so earthly minded that you are no heavenly good. Amen. That is the yeast. That is this yeast this borderline obsession with earthly concern. The Pharisees are concerned about their position. Herod is concerned about his power. The disciples just want to eat. And I get that. I understand their concern for the lack of provision. Yes, you were knuckleheads. Yes, you didn't bring enough bread. But listen, Jesus is telling them, I just finished feeding 5,000 and 4,000 people respectively. Why are you tripping about bread?
Amen.
You still don't get it. You still don't get it. Matthew chapter 6, where Jesus goes through the provision, God's provision. That, listen, God feeds sparrows. You know those little pesky little birds that dirty up your...
Yeah,
them. God feeds them. In fact, there's not one of them that will fall to the ground and God will not take notice.
That's right.
Are you not more valuable to him than sparrows? Look at the lilies. How many of you love lilies? I love lilies. I don't usually keep lilies in my house. They're kind of morbid to me because you always see them in funeral homes, but that does not detract from the in black churches, they're always on the fan that's on your seat when you come in. Yes, yes. And the fan is always from a funeral home. So, yeah. But lilies are no less beautiful. Look at the grass. Have you ever... Look how I clothe, Jesus says. Look how God clothes. How he dresses. The grass. The grass that gets eaten up by animals and stuff. The grass. I'm telling you, Solomon, in all of his finery, wasn't dressed like this. So why are you worried about what you will eat, what you will drink, what will you put on? These are the things that the Gentiles, Jesus says, run after. The people who do not understand covenant relationship with God. That was Jesus' point. But I'm telling you, to seek first. Make the kingdom of God your priority, and all the rest of it will be added. All the rest of it will be added. I fed 5,000. I fed 4,000. Why are you obsessed with the earthly?
Amen.
When I have called you to the heavenly, why is it that you still don't get it? Now, here's the danger about the earthly concern, because if you've ever lit, listen, I've been single a very, very long time. My entire adult life, basically. I've never been in a position as an adult where I had the luxury of depending on another person. Everything I do by myself. I live with a cat, and I can't even get her to pick up her toys, let alone get a job. Yeah, she a lazy little cuss. But she cute, so she gets to stay. So when I hear Jesus say to me, don't worry about the natural, I sometimes feel like, you know what, Jesus, you're asking an awful lot from me. You're asking for a lot. Because if I don't think about it, nobody else will. Nobody else is paying my bills. There's not another paycheck coming in. So Jesus, when you tell me that I don't need to think about that, I go, he says, I told you not to think about it. What don't you get? Jesus facepalm. Because then I have to go back. I have to go back in my mind, especially over the last 10 years or so when Vanguard was getting ready to blow up and we didn't know if it was going to stand or not. And they told me, it's like, oh, you lucky you got a job. You're looking for a 3% cost of living raise? Good luck with that. I mean, these were the things and these were the situations and everything was going up on my paycheck. But you know what? Over the years, there has always been a miracle of loaves and fishes at my table.
Amen.
I have not missed a meal. Trust, believe it or no, I did not get this body eating lettuce. Didn't happen. I like to eat. I like to cook. I like to eat well. It's a thing for me. It's my thing. I made stove chop from scratch macaroni and cheese last night because I felt like it. Cheese sauce and all. You should have seen me. You'd have been proud. I'm sorry I didn't make the call. Next time, I'll let you know when I do it. But there's always been a miracle. This bill is paid, rent is paid. I got this to take care of. God, there's nothing. Wait a minute. No, I'm right. There's nothing left. And then I'll get an envelope in my mailbox. In my Vanguard mailbox from somebody I don't know. And behold, there's $500 in cash in it. I've had that happen. Why are you worried? What don't you get? Jesus is like, I'm very clear about what I have called you to. Anybody in here know you don't get rich in ministry unless you're Joel Osteen, T.D. Jakes, or Creflo Dahl? Who, you never heard of Creflo Dahl? Yeah?
I know.
Oh, it's another story. I'll tell it to you sometime. Bless him and keep him. He's we need to talk, okay? But unless you are, and again, I don't level that as an indictment against those people, but my point is very few people become very, very wealthy. Most of us, as my coworker at Vanguard says, you don't study Jesus to get rich. You don't study Jesus. You don't come and get a bachelor's degree, a master's degree in ministry in order to make money. It just does not happen. But it's okay. If God feeds sparrows, he'll feed you. If God clothes grass, he will clothe you. Most of what I wear is about 10 to 12 years old. Maybe I shouldn't have put that out there, but I'm here to put it out there for a reason. And I don't have holes in any of it. I take care of it. I wash it. I clean it. I hang it up. And I keep wearing it. And I'm as cute today as I was 10, 12 years ago. The lesson for us loved ones is that do not permit the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke out the word of God in your life. Mark chapter 4, remember that parable of the sower? How that seed, that message of the kingdom, it can be a salvation message, it can be a word of encouragement, it could be a word of prophecy, it could be a word of warning. Whatever that word that comes to you, if you find yourself caught up and obsessed with what's going on in the natural, how am I going to make this rent? How am I going to pay these bills? How my mortgage is behind. My kids need shoes. Those are real. I'm not discounting any of that. That's real. I hate money, but I have to have it.
Amen.
I would love to skip through this life without having to worry about paying a bill. That doesn't happen to grown-ups. Grown folk work and pay bills. My cousin was having a hissy fit one day because she's what, 55 years old? She's a 5-year-old in a 55-year-old body, and she loves to tell me, well, I guess I'll just work and pay bills. You ain't special. Baby, you're not special. We all working and paying bills. So, work and pay your bills. But there's not enough left over for her to have fun. It's like, oh, little one, make your own fun. Work it out. I don't know what to tell you. You got cable, you got a computer, you got Netflix. Work it out. That's real. The cares of this life are real. The concerns of this life are real. And you can't just get up and, as much as you might like to, you just can't get up and walk away from them. But what don't you get? How much was left over after feeding 5,000? How much was left over after feeding 4,000? Jesus is saying to us, I know what I've called you to, and I have already seen it afar off, and I have already made provision. He is still Jehovah Jireh. He is still the God who provides. Do not allow, and this is as real a danger for us as it was for those disciples in that boat. You caught up because you don't have enough bread. You still don't get it. You participated in this miracle. You set those folks down and you handed out that piddly bit of lunch. And you watched it multiply and you went back and you picked up the scraps. What don't you get? I am the Lord who provides for you. You have God staring you in the face and you still don't recognize it. God is staring you in the face. Every loaves of, because I can't be the only one who has experienced that loaves and fishes miracle at her table every night. You may not be living there today, but maybe you have lived there in the past. And if you haven't had it past or present, all I would say to you is keep living. You'll get there. It's coming. How far will you look? How far will you trust? Or are you going to allow your eyes to be blinded so that you don't see God before you? That is a challenge for you and I today. And so I pray today, Father, in the name of Jesus, help us to see you with clear eyes in all things. Sometimes the army coming at us looks way too big. And so we ask that you open our eyes. Open our eyes to see the garrison that stands behind us in the spirit realm. You are still the God who cares for you. You are still the God who provides. You can take a little and make abundance out of it so that there will be more to share. Father, we trust you today. Help us to walk in your will and your way, to not turn to the right or the left, not to remove our hand from the plow, but to keep working, keep ministering, keep caring well for, keep believing you, knowing that you are the provider for us. Help us not to fail to see you today. We ask in Jesus' name.